That's a new song that they've been playing a lot on the radio station that I listen to. That'll get your toes a tapping. Alrighty. Well, today is September 22nd, 2010. Oh, Lord have mercy. We've had a lot of really good messages in the past couple of weeks. We've talked about standing firm and not giving up, and we've talked about criticism and how it's to be received and how we're to handle it. We've also talked about impossibilities in our life and how we serve a God that is a God of not just the possible, but the impossible, that there's nothing impossible for God, that he can handle all things. And we've also talked about tough living and how it is tough to live a Christian life and continue to be a guidance to others. It's not always easy. Tonight, I want to take it one step further. And I want to talk about something that actually I thought I had preached about before, but I went back through all of my messages that I, all my message notes that I have on file on my computer, and I didn't find a subject as the one that's tonight. And I was surprised because I think that I've touched on it probably during other messages, but not necessarily spoken specifically about it. And I think that it's important for us to understand. Tonight's message is going to be on sanctification. Now, does anybody know what sanctification is? Does anybody know what it means to sanctify something? You know, when we pray to the Lord, a lot of times we ask the Lord, especially when we pray over our food, we ask the Lord to bless and sanctify it. Does anybody have a clue what that means? Kristen? Make it clean, you're close. To sanctify something means to make it holy or to free it from sin. Now, you might be saying, well, how can a piece of meat be sinful, or how can it be sin, you know? But you have to remember, back in the Old Testament, there were laws that they were given where there were certain meat that they were not allowed to eat. They weren't allowed to eat pork, okay? They weren't allowed to eat any bottom dwellers in the ocean, so like catfish and shrimp. They weren't allowed to eat any of that kind of stuff. It was unclean, is the way the Lord had deemed it. So when you ask, when you pray over your food, and in the name of Jesus Christ, you ask the Lord to bless and sanctify that food, that means that because of the blood shed on the cross by Christ, you can ask the Lord to sanctify your food and remove it from sin, making it safe for you to eat, meaning that you're not committing a sin by eating what the Lord may have deemed unclean. When you ask the Lord to bless it and sanctify it, then that cleans it, cleanses it, makes it okay, it makes it holy. Now, when you add T-I-O-N to sanctify, which would be sanctification, and it sanctification is the process of sanctifying something. It's the act of sanctifying it. So sanctification involves a moral change in character that's brought about by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the truth. What's the truth? The truth is that Christ is the one and only begotten Son of the Father, and he come and died on the cross for us, right? That's the truth. Sanctification is done through the work of the Holy Spirit. So what happens is it's a process that is done within our lives to what? To sanctify us, to make us holy, to make us without sin, to free us from our sin. It's a process that starts with God's grace. When we become saved, the Lord separates us from sin, and we become dedicated to God and his righteousness. We seek more of him. How many of you know people in your life that you don't associate with any longer since you've become closer to the Lord? Your friendships change. You know, before you used to go to, you generally have friends that you have things in common with. So if you're going out to the bars and drinking, you're going to have friends that go to the bar and drink. When you become saved and you no longer drink and you no longer go to the bars, usually you don't have those types of friends any longer. Your friendships change. Friendships die out, you know. If you're single and you're hanging about around with a bunch of single people, well, when they start getting married and having kids, if you remain single, you pretty much don't hang around with those single people anymore. Your friendships change. You tend to have relationships with people that are similar to yours. And what happens when the Lord saves us and begins to change us, a lot of times God separates us from the sinners and puts us on a more righteous path. That is the process of being sanctified. The purpose is for us, the purpose of sanctification is to make us more like the Lord so that we can draw closer to God and be counted worthy to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's what that whole process is about. And it's not an easy one. I mean, because we have a hard time letting go of the things that we may once hold dear. You know, you may have liked to drink. Maybe you liked to take a taste of beer, you know, and now you don't drink anymore. Well, you kind of miss it because you liked it, but you can live without it. Why? Because you're moving more into a deeper, you're moving into a deeper relationship with God. Your priorities change. You find yourself turning off the TV and opening your Bible more. You don't watch as much TV. You may not be on the computer as much. You may be reading more. Different things, the way God moves in your lives. But God does separate us from the world and begins to place us in God's service. He sets us on He sets us on a road or on a path that will allow us to serve Him and draw closer unto Him. Another way to look at it is that God is carrying us on to perfection. He's doing a mighty work in us, allowing us to be led to perfection. And it starts with regeneration. It starts when we become saved, when we are cleansed of our sins and placed on a different path. But it involves the entire person. Sanctification doesn't necessarily involve one part of your life. It involves your entire life. That's why it takes so long. To become holy and to be more like God is a harder work for us sinners. We have a sinful nature. There are things that we don't want to let go of. You know, we don't want to stop watching the TV shows that we really shouldn't watch anymore. A lot of us, you know, a lot of us continue to use profanity when we shouldn't. Those types of things. So because of that, and because we serve a loving God that is gracious and doesn't force us to do anything, He does everything slowly and in His own way, so that we can be more receptive to the changes that He wants to bring about. The cleansing of our sins is made possible only by Christ's death and resurrection. So we are sanctified in Jesus Christ. The word states in 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. We are sanctified in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, But of Him are ye in Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We receive our sanctification. We receive all these things through Jesus Christ, through being led by the Holy Spirit to seek a deeper relationship with Christ. It's only by the Lord's hands that we can be sanctified. But our faith leads us there. Our faith and our ability to trust in the Lord leads us to be sanctified. Now remember, what's sanctification? Becoming holy. Being made holy. Being without sin. It unites us with Christ and brings a believer to live a life of truth where we are led to be obedient to God's way. He does it gently, though. God doesn't force us. But it's part of the process. It's a natural part of the process. Once you become saved, you confess your sins to God and he delivers you from, he gives you forgiveness for your sins. Well, what's left? If God doesn't continue to change you and mold you and turn you into a better person, what's left? Okay, say that you become saved at the age of 13. God forgive you of your sins. Okay, so what happens the rest of your life? The other 50 years, at least, let's say. Sometimes 60, sometimes 70. What happens the rest of those years? Okay, you saved me. I'll go my way. No. God continues to do a work in you because he wants you to what? To be with him. The only way you can be with God is to what? Be more like him. So he continues to do your work, and that is done. Do the work in you, and that's done through sanctification. We are always subject to the corrections of the Father and his guidance by his loving hands, which are designed to correct our imperfections and to conform us to his grace, or conform our grace. God is always doing a work in us. What's the word say? He who hath begun a mighty work in you will see it to the day of completion. Once God starts working in your life, he's going to continue to work in your life. Until what? Until you're made perfect. Now, until you're completely sanctified. When are you made perfect? Anybody know? Got a guess? When you die. That is the only time we are made perfect, is in death. But you can't go from sinner to perfect in the blink of an eye. It's a process. Remember, to sanctify something means to make it holy. Can God make it holy in an instant? Sure, he can. He can do anything. But God doesn't make us. He allows us to come to him and seek his ways. Perfect holiness is God's command and purpose. In 1 Thessalonians 4:7, the word says, "For God hath not called us into uncleanness, but into holiness." God calls us to be clean and to be holy. But once we've been called to the altar, and once we've been saved of our sins, the next logical step is to continue to be made holy. And that's the process that it takes, sometimes years. Sanctification is the process that continues during our lives as believers. In Hebrews 10:14, the word says, "For by one offering he hath perfected them forever that perfected forever them that are sanctified." But keep in mind, perfect sanctification is not attainable in this life. Hebrews 12:23 says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. To the spirits of just men made perfect. When you become a spirit, when you pass and you go to heaven, you're a spirit, that's when you receive perfection. Okay? But we continue to strive for it. Why? Because without striving for it, we don't get to heaven. You don't get there. So we are commanded to be holy. 1 Peter 1:15-16 says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." We are commanded to be perfect. Matthew 5:48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And we are commanded to present our members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. That's in Romans 6:18-19. Where the word says, "Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." And the last half of 19 says, "Even so, now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." It's a process. You start off being a sinner, then you're saved, you're moved to righteousness, you're moved to holiness, then you're moved to perfection. It's a process in your life. The entire process is called sanctification. And it's what we're called to do. We also receive a plea for to be pure in heart. That's in 1 Thessalonians. And the command, or these commands that I read, to be holy, to be perfect, to be slaves of righteousness for holiness' sake, to be pure. All of these commands imply effort on our part. It takes effort for us to receive those things. It takes effort in our lives and in our hearts, because it's a struggle. Why is it a struggle so bad? Because we have so many spirits and principalities that we fight daily. The devil wants to do nothing but knock us off the path. He doesn't want us to become holy. He wants us to give up. He wants us to turn away from the Lord. But when you've invited God into your heart and allowed him to begin to change your life, you will find that you thirst more for God. You hunger more for the Lord. You end up spending more time in the Word. Your life changes. Your friendships change. Your relationships change. Your mannerisms change. The things that you once did, you no longer do. All those things begin to change your heart and change your life. But it does take effort. My sister posted something on Facebook this week about her friends either being sick or having bad luck. And I said, if they're relying on luck, therein lies their problem. And my brother-in-law commented back and said, that's why that we make our own luck. That's why I'm lucky to have her. And my reply back to him was, the only thing you can make is a choice. The only thing you can make is a choice. I don't believe we make our own destiny, which a lot of people do. I don't believe in karma. I believe in heaven and hell. I believe in God and the devil. I believe that bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to bad people. All by the Lord's hands, not by some spirit. I don't believe we make our own destinies. I believe we choose. And the Lord will either allow us to succeed or fail. Like I said, the only thing you can do is make a choice. What I said to my brother-in-law was, the only thing you can make is a choice. That's why you are blessed to have her. Speaking of my sister, you can make a choice. You can choose to remain a sinner in your life. You can choose to come to the Lord and receive him into your heart. But just remember that receiving God into your heart doesn't stop there. He continues to do a mighty work. And you begin the process of sanctification. We are put through the fire like gold in order to be purified. And it's always not an easy process. But that's why we have the Word of God to continue to strengthen us, to continue to lead and guide us, to help us get through. Thank you, Aaron. To get through all the things. We have the ability and the fellowship of each other. We know that the Lord puts us through things specifically so that we can be a comfort to others. He allows us to meet and talk and meet and gather in His name so that the Holy Spirit will come and dwell amongst us so that we may receive further guidance from Him. All of these things God continues to do in our hearts and in our lives until we are made perfect, until our time of death, so that we can spend eternity with Him. We have to believe in Jesus because we are sanctified in faith, through by faith in Him. Our sanctification comes by faith in Jesus Christ. We've read those scriptures already, but also again in Acts 26:18, the word says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus Christ speaking. Through the Holy Spirit, we also put to death the evil deeds of the body, the sins of the flesh, the desires of the flesh that lead us to sin, such as overeating. That's a good one. That's a desire of the flesh, and it's a sin called gluttony. We must walk in the Spirit in order to receive guidance and direction from the Holy Spirit. You have to seek Him. You have to draw closer unto the Lord, spend time in His Word, and receive His guidance and direction. In Galatians 5:25, the Word says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We know that the Word says you can't serve two gods. It's one or the other. And if you walk by faith, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be walking in the Spirit. It's through that and through your faith in Christ, the fact that He came and paid the penalty for our sins and gives us eternal hope through His death and His resurrection, that we can continue to pursue holiness. We can continue to pursue a righteous path, and we can continue to pursue the process of sanctification in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. My final thought to you tonight is, the more holy a man is, the more humble and self-renouncing, self-abhorring, and the most sensitive to every sin he becomes, the more closely he clings to Christ. That's process of sanctification. Putting others first. Being more like the Lord, gentle and kind. Strengthened by His mighty hand. With many changes done in your life and in your heart. The process of sanctification is not an easy process, but it is done through faith in our life, in our hope, in our trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Amen. That's the word for tonight. I hope that gives you a deeper understanding of what sanctification is. And I hope that this leads you to seek it more closely in your life and in your heart. Does anybody have any questions or anything to add? If all hearts and minds are clear, then we can stand for dismissal.